Lord, teach us to pray. And then follows probably the most memorable and passage of Scripture you know the best, Our Father in Heaven, the Lord's Prayer. And I know each one of you has a long history of praying the Lord's Prayer, and it is probably the closest prayer that we turn to in times of need and vulnerability, whether it be sickness or the loss of many things, especially the loss of loved ones. The Lord's Prayer is almost a universal prayer amongst all humankind. I have Jewish friends very, very comfortable praying the Lord's Prayer. I have heard that Muslims even are comfortable praying the Lord's Prayer. And this Lord's Prayer has such a power to connect us to the depths of where our faith truly lies. It's central to the church's prayer, because every time we gather, we always pray the Lord's Prayer. It doesn't matter whether you're at a Eucharist or a morning prayer, at a baptism, a confirmation, a marriage, giving thanks for the birth of a child, you're sick in the hospital and the priest comes and gives you, you're going to pray the Lord's Prayer. It'll be the last prayer you're going to hear when you're on your deathbed, and it will be prayed at your funeral. It is the central, most important, heartfelt prayer of the church. And if I can do anything today, it will be to help us see how it is central to our own prayer life and the very heart of our prayer life. But after giving the simplicity of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus goes into this parable about the persistent neighbor knocking on the door, and Jesus says, ask, seek, knock. And so Jesus is giving this parable as a way of moving in, and I'm going to move us back into the Lord's Prayer in a minute, but this asking, seeking, knocking is really what the heart of the prayer is all about. Now, we're all seekers from the moment we're born. We have to seek, find out who we are, what our identity is, what our gifts, what our talents are, what will we do in life, who will we be. We are all seekers in the course of life, to be sure. And all of us look in a lot of different places to find the identity of who we are. The work that we choose, the career that we have, the person whom we marry, the family we raise, our extended family of parents and sisters and brothers. We look in many places. We often look to be self-sufficient, to be independent. Then we also look for service to others and charity to others. Yet none of those singly define who we are. And if we put our whole trust in just one of them, we will finally realize there is still a part of us that's still seeking. And so Jesus says, ask and it will be given. Now that's not an image of a heavenly God that dispenses heavenly blessings whenever we petition heaven. Ask and you will receive is a promise. It's a promise that God will be with us and God will give us the meaning, the identity, the purpose in life. God will lead us into that. All these others are very wonderful ways in which we become who we are, but no one of them is the only one. St. Augustine of the 5th century, I believe, wrote these words, "You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." There is something that God gives that all of these other ways do not ultimately fulfill. And it's the relationship with God that transcends all the limitations that life gives us. Failures, sins committed, the loss of loved ones. God wants to be with us in all of the circumstances of our life, to be able to bring us new meaning, even new life out of death. And so God's promise is, pray our Father. Pray our Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. You see, it's our Father, not my Father, our Father. Not just the Father of my tribe, not just the Father of Christians. It's the Father of all humankind, all humanity. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed, meaning we acknowledge there's a power greater than the power than my power, a power greater than humanity's power, and whose name is Father. Father, meaning one who seeks relationship with us, just like our earthly father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And instantly, we should be able to see the world that we have and realize how far it is from what this kingdom of God is described to be that we hear in the Gospels. How far short the world is. How far short even perhaps our own personal life is. So if you ask for a mark of what God gives, when we ask your will be done, one of the first signs is forgiveness. Because we all need second chances. And so Jesus assures us that when we pray your will be done, he not only gives us the guidance, the inspiration, he also gives us the forgiveness to get up and try again. And then he goes further, teaching us to ask. Give us each day our daily bread. And the minute we say that, we're acknowledging we're dependent. We're not self-sufficient people. We're not independent people. We are dependent people, air, water to sustain us, food, shelter. Give us what we need for today. You know, it's not for tomorrow, it's just today, one day at a time. And the important thing is that it's not just me, it's not just you. Give us each day our daily bread. We are praying for all women and men. All women and men. And just for a moment, let it sink in. I'm praying that every woman and man on the planet has their needs for today met. Wow. That is a huge ask. And you can see how far short our world is. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those indebted to us, no matter our good intentions. We have a self, and it's always a selfishness that threatens in all of our relationships to creep in. And so it's a recognition that forgive us. We need a second chance. We know we can't get it right all the time. But the important thing is we also know no one else can either. And so we have to forgive them too, as we are forgiven, in order that the kingdom of God can come into our world. And then finally, lead us not into temptation. Do not bring us to the time of trial. And you can have... Why are we praying God not to lead us into temptation? But I think for me, this is more of a prayer that may my faith never end. May I not be tempted by the distractions of this world, the principalities and powers of darkness that have been throughout human history and are still present even in 2022, as we know, as we look out into the world. Pray that I never fall away from wanting my relationship with you, O God. Because once we lose the relationship with God and we turn away, it's not there. Then the abyss of loss in life, abandonment, the loss of freedom, upset by obsession and compulsion, addiction that robs people of life, the abyss will likely open. And then the prayer ends with, "For the kingdom and the glory and the power are yours, now and forever." Just this month, we've seen the first images of a universe we didn't even know existed from the James Webb Telescope. I hope you all saw that. What we didn't even know. The awe of it. And even the greater awe of the origin of it. The power, the glory of God. Now, I want to just end the sermon with part personal testimony and part preaching at you. It's important to pray this prayer every single day. Sometime in the course of your prayer, morning, it doesn't matter. Just once a day. I made that a prayer practice of mine a number of years ago. And what I found was that it really sharpened my awareness as I went about my daily life. What was falling short of kingdom values, the importance of the relationships of the people that are in our lives and the people we just meet in the course of the day, how important that those relationships are, to be on guard against selfishness and self working its way in, and knowing how often in the course of the day I need to stop and be forgiven. It really can frame a day for you in a spiritual way. And it can enrich the fruit of your prayer life. And so I encourage you to pray the Lord's Prayer every single day, because it will end up praying your life into kingdom values, into the kingdom of God. And so this passage of the gospel ends. How much more will the God do than to give us the Holy Spirit when we ask? Amen. Amen.